versus City of North Bend.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Todd Wyatt on behalf of the appellates in this matter. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, Your Honor.
Okay.
We're here to ask this court to reverse the order of the trial court and remand with instructions to enter an order annulling the assessments against these owners. The record here is complex.
When you said against the owners, are you limiting the relief to a request of just those who appeal?
Just my clients, yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Excuse me. Number of issues in the brief, I'd like to focus on one, and that's the change from a vacuum system to a gravity system. The record here, there's after reading the briefs again, there is some implication of a disagreement on the record that I want to make sure the court is clear on because it's actually very important. There was a series of public meetings after the petition was filed by property owners, and the ULID number 6 was adopted in November 2007. Via public meeting, via ordinance. That ordinance, 1293, attached to our brief, very specific about the vacuum system, the size of pipes, the estimated cost, where those pipes would be. After that was passed. Okay.
Given those facts, what would a party do if they couldn't have done here when something like that occurs? In other words, there's a substantial change in the nature of the project. The project in the same place, it's got a sewer system.
Right. So the two things that prevented the parties from acting at that point. One, there was no notice of it. There was no public meeting, no ordinance passed, no change.
Notice will do no good if there's nothing for you to do with
that. And the second part is under RCW 3543.100, you only have 30 days. It's very, very clear. After an ULID is established, if you want to protest the creation of that ULID, you have 30 days to do so. The presumption of that statute is you know what the ULID is for, right? And that's what the cases talk about.
100 speaks in terms of after the date of passage of the ordinance, ordering the improvement, and creating the district. So
correct.
That signal, it's only the front end, only the initial ordinance?
No, the district is created. ULID number 6 was created in November 2007.
Right.
That's what ordinance 1293 did.
The 30 days after that date is the cutoff for the protest.
That's exactly right.
So what difference would it make if a change comes along 10 months later?
Well, the difference is if the change is substantial, as the cases talk about, the owners don't have an opportunity at that point to challenge or protest. They've approved something. The public has approved something versus via 3543, that process, decided not to protest. And then if a substantial change occurs, there's nothing they can do at that point.
What's the scope of the owner's protest under the statute? Assuming they get notice, assuming they finally protest.
Sure. It's arbitrary or fraudulent action. It's a high bar.
It's a very high bar.
Right. But to make the change, Your Honor, you'd have to follow the ULID statutes, which require the petition, right? The public has to petition. And I think it's a very safe assumption that had the City of North Bend done the correct thing and said, okay, we are going to make a new ULID. We're going to modify this to make it, instead of an $11 million vacuum system, we're going to buy a $19 million gravity system. In a city the size of North Bend, I think it's a very safe assumption the public would have had a lot of questions. But we don't know, right? Because that record was never developed because the owners never had a chance.
Does the 1-8?
That's not arbitrary and capricious fraud, and that I think that goes to Judge
Brown's
question. That is, it is a conjunctive. It becomes fairly nebulous, does it not, for what you can accomplish?
It does, but I think the bind the owners are in is we never have an opportunity to even develop that record, right? We never had the chance, and we never had notice of it. Is I think the other problem too.
You're not arguing that under 180 there is a right to remonstrate, to protest, you know, 60% of the value within 30 days can step up and say, hey, we're pulling the plug on this deal?
No, there is, but I think that expires under 100. That expires within 30 days. Does that answer your question, Your Honor?
Well, I guess. Okay. I guess if you're talking about having a high bar and if you're contending you still had a right, if you'd received formal notice of the increase in the cost of material change, are you arguing you would have the chance then for 60% of the value to come in and say, we don't want to do this?
If there was a formal change of the ULID to adopt this gravity system, yes. But I think that goes to a more fundamental problem that's discussed in the brief, and that's, did the city have the right to change it at all? And I think if you look at the Hayes v. City of Seattle case, in that case there was a streetcar, a large streetcar project. The city staff in the ordinance adopted. In that case, it says we the city can change this. We can make modifications to it. And the court and the city staff does so. A party challenges it. The court rejects that. The court says after it's been adopted, you can't make substantial or material changes to a project. I don't think there's really any dispute that this was a substantial and major change to this project.
Isn't the materialness, though, only the cost? If the cost had been the same, there wouldn't be any material change.
Absolutely not, Your Honor. There's a number of changes to the project. Literally, the locations of where these pipes went were changed. The type of system, it was a completely different system. The ordinance itself had talked about vacuum stations. Those were gone. Completely different system. And you compare them to what's material in the case law. In the Hayes case, it was changing one street. In the O'Byrne versus City of Spokane case, it was a freeway. The freeway still went from point A to point B. All they did is reroute it 600 feet to get a little farther away from the school.
But your main contention here is the cost.
Well, certainly that's the motivating factor behind my client, sure.
The municipality presumably has some discretion to modify. It's a question of whether this is just outside the proper exercise of that discretion.
I think that's right, Your Honor. I think cost is obviously a huge issue. I mean, look at the George versus Anacortes case, right? In that case, very similar ordinance. Ordinance describes the pipe size for a water main, describes where it's going to go. The city staff, just like here, decides to make a change. The only thing they changed in that case is the street it went on. Everything else was the same, and it increased the cost by 10% in that case. It went from $50,000 to about $56,000 is the total cost. And the court said no. Because the ordinance had specifically laid out the details to be as part of the improvement, the city staff did not have the authority to do that. I think here, again, I don't think there's much of a reasonable debate that this is much more than George v. Anacortes. This is a material change to the project that the city did not have the power to even implement. Finally, Your Honor, very briefly, on the city's main argument, and it was adopted by the hearing examiners, well, there was a resolution. A resolution was passed in 2009 awarding the construction contract. A few problems. Even if the city had the power to do that, to change the ULID, which I don't think they did for the reasons discussed, two, it was a resolution, not an ordinance. Ordinance are the laws. Ordinance is what the ULID statutes require under 43080. A resolution doesn't have the same process criteria that an ordinance requires. And in the Triangle Traders case, same thing. Triangle Traders, they had a reassessment. The reassessment was done by resolution, not ordinance. And the court said, no, that's not good enough. That doesn't comply. And then the third reason that resolution simply is not a proper modification, the resolution on its face says nothing about a change to a gravity system. It's a one-page document that says we're awarding the construction contract to this contractor. Unless a property owner was in these meetings between the city staff and the engineers and knew what was afoot, they would have no advance notice that this resolution was doing a substantial change to the ULID. That's all they would have known. That's all the resolution says. Didn't say anything about a gravity. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay.
Members of the court, good morning. My name is Bruce Deason for the city. I would characterize this case as a head-scratcher. Normally, when an appellant appears before you, they're the sore loser. In this instance, having gone to Superior Court, been granted the relief they requested, you're here unhappily. So I guess that makes them the sore winner. In this instance, and the court's questioning has touched upon the issue, it's dollars and cents. Counsel suggested that, oh, no, we have an entirely different system, the pipes removed, whatever. I asked the court to review the record and find where that is found. It's not. The ordinance that established this local improvement district specifically reserved to the council the authority to make a modification. The language in the ordinance says, All the foregoing, referring to the vacuum system, all the foregoing shall be in accordance with the plans and specifications, therefore, prepared by the city engineer, and here's the key language, and may be modified by the city council as long as such modification does not affect the purpose of the improvement. The improvement was a sewer system.
No matter what the cost?
No matter what the cost.
So if there's a tenfold increase in cost, no notice is required?
The ability to challenge the assessments and the validity of the assessments occurred at the hearing before the hearing examiner. Not one appellant brought an appraiser to indicate that the assessments were incorrect, invalid. As the court may be aware, a local improvement district, the purpose is to establish the special benefit received by the properties for whom the improvement is constructed. In this instance, this was not the city's project. This was a citizen's project. And what council failed to mention is that there were over 400 properties involved in this local improvement district. Correct. Well, except for the fact that when you look at, out of those properties, the number of parties who have challenged this, we're talking about a minute percentage.
Well, let's get back to the Section 1 language on which you rely. I have it in front of me as well. Mm-hmm. So it comes down to what is intended by that language. As you correctly mentioned, it refers to a vacuum sewer system. And then it says that it may be modified. So the question is whether or not this modification, changing the type of system and greatly increasing the cost, is a modification within the terms of the section. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we take the view, based on the case authorities, that this modification, changing the type to a gravity system and substantially increasing the cost, is not a modification within the intent of this language, where are you?
Apart from disagreeing,
right.
I would expect the court to grant relief to the appellants and say it's a do-over. Come back and go forward. I don't think that's required.
Why is that an incorrect result?
Why? Because in our case, there was notice that the proposed plans had the opportunity to change. Now, in this instance, the appellants are arguing that, oh, this is such a tremendous change that we need to invalidate the entire assessments. There isn't any case law that says that. Council quoted Hayes for the proposition that this is such a modification that we can't let it go forward. But in Hayes, and I'm quoting, the change here proposed is one which merely modifies the details of the foregoing planner system and one not substantially changing the purposes specified. Again, the court in Hayes, just as in our briefing and in the ordinance, it is the purpose that is the key here.
Doesn't Buckley versus Tacoma, that 1896 case or whatever it is, recognize the concept that there may be equivalent ways to do the same project, accomplish the same goal of the LID, but one can result in an easy payment for an owner, another substantial ruin? So isn't the cost change, even if authorized by this language in the ordinance, something that could trigger, should trigger another 30-day period for the property owners to come in and say, hey, we want to pull the plug?
Well, the difficulty here is that the city, and I think appropriately, went through a value engineering process to make sure that the vacuum system was technically feasible.
Right.
They found that it was not. I don't know how familiar the court is with sewer systems, but you either have a vacuum system or a gravity system. Here, the citizens wanted sewer to maximize their ability to develop their respective properties. If they don't have a sewer, they cannot do that. So in this case...
Isn't the dilemma, though, they're signing up, what they're signing up for, is it an unlimited price tag, you know, fill in the blank, and we have an initial 30-day period to say with on the cost estimate up or down, but after that, if the cost goes through the ceiling, we don't get another 30 days?
No, because the assessments are based upon the substantial increase in value to the property that is gained by the construction of the improvement.
Then why have the cost provision at all in the statute? Why include cost in the initial ordinance?
Well, are you talking about the city's ordinance or the state statute?
City's ordinance. The statute requires the ordinance to put forward a reasonable cost estimate. Why
Correct.
Have that there?
And at that time, they did, in fact, do so. But here, as the court is aware, the circumstances changed. In order to provide the citizens with the improvement that they desired, the city had to go forward, and therefore it wasn't a question of do we have a menu of A, B, C, and D sewer systems. Do you want a sewer system? If you do, this is what it's going to cost. And the assessments were sent out to the parties. Parties were given the opportunity to challenge them if they wish to. And as I point,
one of the things you might want to challenge in this kind of a circumstance is whether or not it should be an obligation of the citizens of the city of North Bend as distinct from some of the property owners of the city of North Bend, i.e. the difference between an LID and a general and an obligation of the general revenues, if you will, of the city of North Bend. That could be a significant inquiry, depending upon just exactly what these benefits are and the extent of them.
Well,
if there's any number of hypothetical ones that come up with, it depends on the age of the city, the age of the improvements, what the existing improvements have and don't have, all kinds of things, all of which would go into the arbitrary and capricious nature of the decision to build either of these, if you will, vis-a-vis the benefit that you receive. That's what that whole process would be about. Then you move in, but otherwise you're going to beg the question what the special benefit is, because normally you're always going to have testimony, as this case amply illustrates, that the benefit is to the property is there. And again, that is only a question of this benefit or that benefit.
Well, a distinction, if I understood the court's comments, is that from the overall point of view of the city per se, whether it be the citizens or city government, this was not their issue. This was not their need. This was a specifically focused public improvement that would be paid for by the parties seeking that improvement. So there wouldn't be any fallout or overlap onto the citizens in general.
No, but that would be one of the things I suspect one could raise with regard to, as a minority, if you will, with respect to being the subject of an LID, is that it's not inappropriately a subject of the LID. Now, it's a political argument, if I believe that.
I understand
that. But that's a reason for notice. The statute's got it in there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what they might have argued.
Thank you. But the fundamental point I would like to make to the court is, I think, once we go looking into the examination of the details, we're getting off track of the relief that the very appellants have sought. Appellants appeared in Superior Court, said, we didn't have a chance to look at some documents. We didn't have sufficient time. In addition to that, even though we didn't subpoena any witnesses from the city staff, we would like the opportunity to cross-examine them. Superior Court judge said, okay. If you look at the Superior Court order, I mean, it says expressly that having requested the opportunity to examine employees of the city planning department who provided information to the two city witnesses, it's hereby remanded. So that's what they requested. That's what they were granted. The city is not opposing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Of course, we asked for more than that as well, and that's why we're here. We didn't just ask for a remand. We also asked that the assessments be annulled based on a number of different reasons we gave in the brief below and the briefing here. So it's not just a matter of that all we asked for was a remand. We asked for these assessments to be annulled for the reasons stated in our brief. The council started with modification, and I would pose to the court that council has misread Hayes. Hayes fully supports our position. Hayes, the modification in language in Hayes is almost exactly the same as what the North Bend used here. In the Hayes case, it says, the city of Seattle may modify details in the foregoing plan or system where necessary or advisable in the judgment of the city council, and we're not substantially changing the purposes here specified. The court says when they wanted to change one street, the city may make minor changes, but it has no right, in our judgment, to make the radical change here contemplated. Excuse me. Under Hayes and the other cases,
wasn't that a change of properties? The subject of the
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I don't think the boundaries of the improvement district changed. It was literally just where they put one streetcar rail line. I may be misremembering that, but that's my recollection. But the argument from the city is not novel here. In almost every one of these cases, they make the exact same argument, and that's as long as the purpose is served, then we can make major changes. And the courts reject that again and again and again. Finally, Your Honor, I want to raise very briefly the issue of appellate Dahlgren. If for any reason this court does remand and further proceedings are necessary, if the court rules on the due process issues and the alternative, we would ask that the court also make an entry of an opinion on the issue of Dahlgren's assessment that 75% of his property was not specially benefited. That's fully set out in our briefs. He should not have to go through that process again when the city never rebutted his appraisal evidence. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel.